You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
Never filtered, always fun.
Well, apparently the Fergler back in the day tried to go for the rebuild, and they said, nah. They gave him the dolphin.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Kicking off the show with the Keswick National Anthem, I will be heading to Keswick rather soon.
Really?
To a place called The Rock with my kids. It's a tubing joint. It's got a big hill. It's in Keswick. Tube.
Can you smoke inside?
Probably. On the tube.
Could you imagine hacking a dart on a tube indoors?
I can picture that. In Keswick, it makes too much sense.
I don't know. We gave some shout-outs to some NHL players from Keswick. Joel Hanley, a defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens, sent a note to us. Said, representing Keswick. Thanks for the shout-out.
Big fan of the show.
Must be. I think he heard from a few of his buddies in Keswick, said, hey, they brought up your name. It's not bad, though.
So you're going tubing up in Keswick?
With my kids.
Tubing's pretty fun, actually, but it's kind of like skiing. It takes a long time to get up, and
dude,
then before you know it,
if they don't have one of those things where you hang on to a rope or a mat, I'm not walking.
Well, you have to get help getting up.
I'm not walking. It'll be, see ya, kids, the hill's broken. I'll make up some excuse.
Yeah, I marched.
Because they're not going to walk up either.
Blue Mountain has that little kiddie one. And I walked up there the other day with the kid, sent her down. And then by the time I got to the bottom, she wasn't having any of it.
She didn't
tears,
want to do it again.
Tears. No, it had turned. She's only four.
Yeah, too young for that.
It had turned. I think it rattled her cage a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. $12 for one ride down. Was it?
Not a bad racket, I would say. some money.
If the kids enjoyed it, I'm sure it would be worth the money. But
I mean, how much would it cost to open up a shop like that?
Well, you'd have to own the hill.
Own the hill, bunch of tubes, set up one of those motorized ropes to get up and down.
The motorized rope is key.
We should have those all over the city. That'd be great. You'd get a lot more people out there walking and moving around.
Hey, this is a big building. I think, you know, in the airports, they have those things. The
walking escalator?
They should have those all around this building, all along the hallways.
I totally agree.
I have to be honest. I'm in airports quite a bit. I bring out the patent and let's go, because people stand on them. You need to continue to walk. That's what makes things move
either
faster.
Either that or stay to the right.
Well, biggest pet peeve.
Get the hell out of the way.
But my understanding, and you can maybe speak to this, because one of my best friends has been living in Calgary for about a decade now.
Okay.
Born and raised downtown Toronto. And people in Toronto understand, you stay to the right on an escalator. You let people move on the left.
Exactly.
He said he's been in Calgary for 10 years. They don't understand that concept.
See,
like, people out west do not understand that you move over on the escalator.
That's interesting, because I would agree with him.
Can you speak for your people?
I can speak, but I'm actually
ignorant out there or what?
But I'm going to say there's more ignorance here, because I don't know how many times I've said, let's go, to somebody who's just standing there, confused, as usual.
I would think people not from Toronto, probably.
That's probably what it is.
Aren't with
New
the program.
Canadians, yes.
New Canadians or people that maybe move from out west.
Yeah,
maybe
you never
from St.
know.
Albert or from Calgary.
Calgary.
Coming in here causing problems.
It is. I'll agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have escalator, elevator etiquette. There's all sorts of etiquette.
There's a lot of etiquette in our society. I mean, we're living in a society here, people, as George Costanza would say.
Exactly.
It's very simple. If you're on an escalator, move to the right. Just sit on the right. And if you're with another person, turn around and start talking to them.
Yeah, not side by side.
Not the side by side. Come on.
I agree.
You just mentioned Calgary, and they are...
Do you think they're a blowout in Montreal away from Gullitson potentially getting the call?
When you... That was their fourth ugly one in a row. And did you see his Scrabble face? He made Randy look like there was no such thing as a Scrabble face.
No, he made
He dug Horacek. Into the bag on the bench, and what did he come out with? Zeds?
A Q?
Space, a Q and no U.
An right. Exclamation mark.
That's the worst. When you get a Q with no U, you can't do anything, ever.
He got a bunch of Qs and no Us.
Well, and it was perfect timing by the TSM production team too, yeah. right? Because Ray was sitting there, and Ray was calling out the team. He said, no response.
Yeah.
They're getting beat 4-0. You wouldn't even know it. And then Q Gulletson behind a bench, and he looked like he had no idea what he was supposed to be doing.
He came out after the game, and he's actually said, he's like, I didn't really have a problem with tonight. I was thinking, what? He goes, we had the chances more than – sorry, man. I
thought they had some chances early on. You know, they got pushing early, but then you're down 3-4-0. It doesn't – chances at 4-0 don't mean anything. It's like slew foots at 4-0 doesn't mean you're actually pissed off.
Yeah, exactly. Like that type of stuff is – it's – where is that jam? Where is that excitement to play? In the first period, in the second period.
Like the two previous games, they were down 4-0 in both those games. And I said last night, sooner or later, they're going to say in the locker room, we got to show each other that we care and we got to start properly. And they were just junk again.
Well, I thought Anderson made a couple nice saves to kind of just calm things. But outside of that, not a big pushback from Calgary. You had some veteran guys step up, which we were talking about yesterday. If young guys are... other players have off nights or can't produce as much. It's almost somebody else's term. Hey, I'll jump in there. I thought they played very well and deserved the win. Going back to your point, Brian, it's Montreal tonight, and I think they play somewhere else. If they have a bad week, something's going to have to give there in Calgary.
Well, we talked about how their GM doesn't have a contract at the end of the year.
It might be a house cleaning, man.
I do wonder if that's the connection. Like, yeah. You got a situation here where your GM, who hired the new coach, we're not going to give him an extension so that we have the ability to say clearly the coach has to go too because we want to give the new guy a clean slate. You know, now you'd be paying Hartley money, you'd be paying Gulletson money, you'd be paying Trey Living money, you'd be paying the new GM, the new coach money. You got Burke there who's making money.
Yeah.
I mean, there'd be a lot of people making money who wouldn't really be doing a lot for you.
Well, was Torts the last guy did he get fired during the year in year one in Van?
Or he got it at the end of the year, I believe. I think he got through the year. I can't remember the last guy who got fired, like John McClain did in New Jersey. That's going back probably 6-7 years now. He only got through like 25 games, and Lou told him to take a lap.
And Lou took over, I believe. Did
Sometimes
he not?
You looked at his face last night, and it was almost like he knew that he knows that something's around the corner.
Well,
when you have that look, like everybody has a TV. Berkey's got a TV. Trey Living's got a TV. Like they're looking at that, thinking this is a major problem.
Well,
their goaltending's a major problem too. Let's be serious.
Yeah, like Nazem Kadri deserves full marks, but like Elliott was not good. The second goal was terrible.
Scarecrow.
And that's
Scarecrow.
Kadri made a great shot. No, I'm sorry. His first goal was a bad goal on Elliott, and that's.
Both
You're
of them.
Six
he was doing the
Reimer goal
Scarecrow.
Yeah.
Both of his arms were out like this, and his head was out. And
yeah, that's a problem, man. We saw that for a long time. The Scarecrow causes
the
you big problems. And even the Hyman goal, that's tenacious by Hyman, and he follows it up. But you'd like to see him hold on to that puck.
Yeah, like it just – and that – Brian Elliott has been not the answer so far for the Calgary Flames. Like,
and that's not on Gulletson.
No, he speaks – what's funny is it speaks to coming off a system like – Ken Hitchcock's in St. Louis, how favorable that worked for his numbers. And how when you're facing 8 to 10 scoring chances a night in St. Louis, in past years, not this year, different season this year for sure, that Elliott's had a tough time transitioning into trying to be a starter. And if you think Chad Johnson's going to be your starter, then I think you're misinformed too because he played 45 games last year, played very well. But that's the difference, and that's why when we start to see, and I'll say this, us on the panel, the difference between a starter and a backup, when you go back and look at Reimer, Bernier's body of work, and the people that were saying, you got to let Reimer be the starter, there's a big difference between Frederik Andersen and James Reimer.
That's been proven so far.
You're
absolutely
starting to see it now.
And Andersen was really good again last night. I don't think he was really tested, but he just played the way you would expect him to play. Absolutely. As for the Flames, though, yeah, the goaltending has not been very good, but they're not a great team anyway. Like their defense core on paper, people have expected a lot more the past 2 years, but it hasn't been there. But once you get past Goudreau and Monahan, there isn't much to be scared of in Calgary. There really isn't. Sam Bennett just has not developed the way people thought he would.
He was
still
absolutely invisible last
invisible
night.
Invisible last
night. Yeah, and he's still a young guy.
He's a young guy. I'm not saying that his career is over. It's not going to work for him. But remember that impact he made when he came up for the playoffs as an 18-year-old?
Well,
and at that point,
now everyone's going to say, going down the stretch, if it doesn't turn out, kind of a similar position that Vertanen's in Vancouver, and Curtis Lazar finds himself in Ottawa right now. Yep. He was in the NHL too early. That's what's coming up for him.
That's probably going to be around the corner, but there's nothing you can do about it now.
So this is looked good when he was playing really good in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. And there just isn't enough firepower in Calgary.
You're right. And that's why when you talk about, we'll just go back to like Bennett and the individual players, some guys arrive at different ages, and some guys can handle it. And you see the bumps in the road. That's why you play 82. You know, Bennett comes in. Guns blazing playoffs, right? It's a condensed situation. Now you got to play 82. You got to grind it out night in and night out. The style that he plays, he's not a big guy, but he tries to play that big style. I think it's they've got it to O's point. They've got to be careful with him because you want to make sure he still continues to develop and.
Well, he went fourth overall. He's got to be your second line center after Monahan for the next 10 years.
And you've got to maximize his potential. And right now, it's been a struggle.
No, it's been a real struggle. And Calgary, they're not plugging along. They're getting destroyed. They look like a team that really doesn't know where to turn next, and they look like a team that's going to fall out of a playoff picture. And they've played a lot of games compared to other teams hovering around them. But you talk about those young players, it also magnifies what's happening here in Toronto, where Mitch Marner had 2 points again last night. Now he leads the league in rookie scoring with 39. He's got one more than Matthews and two more than Patrick Laine. And Nylander made a really pretty play last night to set up Kadri on that first goal. Matthews was fine. He didn't own the game. But you got a situation here where you got three rookies on three different lines.
Yeah.
That are three of the top six or seven rookies in the league. And the best threesome to come into the league in a long, long time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're dominating.
Marner was outstanding.
He was unbelievable last night.
I thought Matthews was really pedestrian last night. And I thought, outside of that play, Nylander didn't show me that much last night, personally. But that's why I was talking. The veteran guy, like Kadri and everyone else who stepped up, were dangerous. Because on a night where maybe they just don't have it, like outside of Marner, that's what you need, is the depth is there. And that's what's impressive for me about the Leafs, is the depth.
Absolutely. They're loaded with talent up front. Like that, it's time to come around on that idea. Like, this is a drastically different team than a year ago. Now, Kadri's having a career year. Full credit to him. He's on pace for like 35 goals, which nobody saw. Of all of the things that have played out this year, that might be the most surprising one,
right?
That he's on pace for almost 70 points and 35 goals. But that last night, albeit against a struggling team in Calgary, is what you're looking for out of a team you think can be a playoff team. A bounce back after two games where it wasn't really going your way. Because remember last week, I think it was on Friday after the Rangers game where they played horribly. We all threw it around, and we asked Ray, and Ray said he thinks they're going to go into a bit of a malaise here. That they're going to fumble it around for a week, week and a half.
Right.
And last night I thought was a big bounce back because they deserved to win. They were the superior team. They controlled the game almost from start to finish. And once Kadri scored that 2-0 goal, you could tell it was over.
Yeah.
That's something that I think has really been changing. When you compare that to the first month of the season where they were blowing leads left, right, and center, at no point in the third period – did I think they were going to blow that game?
Well,
not partially, is because Calgary's a mess right now.
Yeah, you knew they were winning. You're just waiting for the clock to run out.
But that's what good teams do. Just run out to guarantee
win. And it's an easy win. They got shut out and game over.
I'll throw another thing on top of that. Is you trust the goaltender too. Frederik Andersen, when there were some struggles early on, you didn't feel like any lead was safe because he was still trying to find his form. At 2-0, 3-0. Yeah, he'll give up a goal, or maybe it happens. But I felt like he was on his game last night. And, you know, to your point, Brian, Calgary wasn't that threatening. But Andersen, if there was an answer or needed to have an answer, he made that blocker save in the third period through a screen. I thought that was a really sharp save. He was dialed in. Yeah, it wasn't tested a ton. But saves like that, they resonate with me for from a positioning standpoint, from in a control standpoint.
Yeah, they make you feel safe.
Exactly. That's the word, safe.
And, yeah, it was an impressive game all around for the Maple Leafs last night. And there were a number of things that came out of it that have people talking league-wide. The Komarov hit on Johnny Gaudreau. Brian McGrattan's going to join us in about 10 minutes, I think.
Oh, yeah?
And he was tweeting about it.
He didn't like that.
He was not happy. And he played with Gaudreau during his rookie year, so he knows him well. And Gaudreau, we had Craig Conroy on yesterday, and Conroy went out of his way to say Gaudreau is being targeted by every team they play. But I think it gets back to my earlier point. Who else are you going to target? Yeah. Once you get past Gaudreau, like, again, I didn't think Monahan did anything last night, and he's having a really disappointing season.
Yep.
You get past him and Monahan, there is nobody on Calgary that you circle. Now, Tkachuk's a good player, and he's a good up-and-coming player.
That line is actually pretty good. Backlund, Tkachuk, and Frolik, they've
been
quite effective.
They're not bad. Yeah,
but they don't
good.
Scare the daylights out of you.
They don't scare you. They're not going to carry a team for 5 or 10 games. So Gaudreau, of course, is going to get caught. But I thought it was a clean hit. It was a good hit.
Too.
Laid him out.
On the panel, I thought and Pooley laid it out perfectly. Like, you talked about, you know, it was – the one thing I noticed right away is he tucked his elbow in. Like there was no – it wasn't – people were, it's an elbow in the head and that. No, it was a clean hit through the body of a bigger, stronger guy. And I liked Pooley's point as well, saying sometimes on the power play you take your foot off the gas a little bit. You're thinking maybe, you know, Komarov's going
to
work
to get hit.
You're going to work to get back into position. Yeah. And Komarov – it was – it's on the player, unfortunately. I'm a Johnny Gaudreau fan. I think he's an unreal player, but you have to have awareness all over the ice. And I think he let up, and Komarov took advantage of that. It's a clean hit. I didn't have a problem with it. And right away, I know Ray was trying to get, because you see it, you're in between the benches, so you get one view out of it, and then they're going to play it for him in his ISO. So he's trying to buy himself a little bit of time to take different angle looks at it. Us at home have the luxury to rewind it, to pause it. I thought Ray called it pretty good, just saying like it's a hard hit through the body.
Which you're allowed to do. I know
good
people overreact.
Good on the ref, too. I said it last night. Good on the ref, or he didn't overreact and go world championship referee on it. Because it was violent. He went flying. It was a star player. And a lot of times a ref's arm will go up and be like, oh, my God, I don't know what that was. And they'll invent something. And it wasn't there.
Because of the star power involved.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Komarov on Gaudreau, that's a star player. Everyone's like, oh, you know, that's initially what I thought. And you know you're going to have a reaction from the team in Calgary because they were upset. And one of their players got knocked on his ass. Yeah, I was fine with that. But it was a good hit by Komarov. It was just a hard hit.
And you know the league is probably on notice because Calgary's complaining about the way Gaudreau's being treated.
Yeah.
Right? Like when he, remember the Wild game where he was getting hacked and slashed and everyone
slashed
was complaining
like
and they went back
something.
And everyone was looking at the amount of times he was getting hit. And again, Conroy came on the show yesterday unprovoked and said he's being hit all the time and he's being attacked all the time and he'd like to see that come to a stop. So even from that standpoint, I think you have to give credit to the ref because maybe the warning sign was built in, you know, protect this guy a little bit or look out for maybe something happening to him. But it doesn't hurt also that Komarov's reputation as a guy who throws his body around all the time.
Well, he's a gray area player. I've called him that before, but you don't mind him.
It's a great hit.
Yeah,
great
you don't mind it on your team.
The slew foot's at the end of the game, though.
I didn't like that.
Anyone that's played the game knows that's the most gutless move in the game.
Matthew Tkachuk has got to cut the garbage out. He's too good of a hockey player. I know you got to play with an edge. I have a ton of respect for a rookie that has enough balls to do that, but it's going to come to a point where it's just going to be, buddy, play hockey. You're too good of a player.
Yeah.
And you're focusing your energy on all the nonsense. If you want to get in people's face and be a pain in the ass, that's great. But that garbage, he's too good of a hockey player.
Well, and at the end of the game.
He's got to focus on scoring goals because ultimately that's what longevity and having a great career is all about. This other nonsense is stupid.
Yeah, it is. And it's junior-like. Don't you like that reeked of junior for me?
Well, Bennett did it too.
I know
they both did it,
but they're both young guys trying to not maybe didn't make an impact in that game, and you know what it was like. In
don't kid yourself. Someone's going to beat the piss out of them too. Sooner or later, someone's just going to grab them and say, "You think you're funny with all this nonsense? Here you go." I don't even know who the hell that is anymore.
I'm not sure who that is either, and I think Tkachuk, he's probably willing to accept that because he wants to play
on
the edge.
To stir it up. I didn't like that move either.
No,
like,
it's just a dangerous
play. But that's why I said it.
Everyone knows.
It reeks of junior for me.
Yeah, just finish your hits. Like Gary Roberts, he was on the edge too. Finish his hits, went to the net hard. There was not, I'm sure he did a bunch of reckless things throughout his career, but it's not every night. You pick your spots when you want to go crazy.
And I will say this, when things aren't going well, you know, as a player, you're trying to be impactful somehow, show the coach, show the organization.
That ain't
something.
One way.
I know, but that's why I said it's junior moves. That reeks of immature junior moves.
Right.
Like, you want to be impactful, go and punch a guy in the face.
Well, exactly. I got no problem with you doing that. Like, it's not ideal.
Go fight Leo Komarov if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, some of the bleeding hearts won't like it, but okay, go up to him and, you know, look someone in the face and punch him in the head if you want. Pull a Marchand on Sedin if you want.
Well, that's probably
slew foot, like, it doesn't matter what level you play in. Anyone that's ever played the game knows that is the most gutless move in the game.
Yeah.
The most gutless move.
And running the goalie. Those are the two gutless things.
Right. Unless you're Hyman and Emelin pushed you in, then I can give you a pass. But it you're right, though. It is. They're both equally gutless because the goalie can't protect himself, and anyone getting slew-footed cannot protect themselves.
Well,
you blow a knee out or get concussed.
I didn't like that
at all. It's not a good look for any player. And Tkachuk, you're right. He's a really good player. I mean, he's your textbook. You love him on your team, hate him on the opposition type player. He's going to have a 20-year career. Be really successful, but there's no point in doing that.
Nonsense.
That doesn't help your rep either. That doesn't mean you're scarier than anybody else either.
No, it
just means
nonsense.
You're being an idiot at that particular point, and it's not necessary. All right, Brian McGrattan, though, he was not happy with the Komarov hit on Goudreau, although I kind of get the impression like he wasn't happy about his former teammates at the same time.
Right.
Like Giordano went at him, but he slipped, and it was just called 2 minutes for roughing both ways. But
it kind of ties into almost the message. Like, I can see where McGrattan's coming from. Like you said, instead of slew-footing and doing stupid things, like, if you had an issue with Komarov or anybody else, you go and take care of it.
Right.
That's, I think, where he was headed. I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
We'll see what he meant by the three tweets he sent out, I believe, earlier today, because he's playing over in England.
Yeah.
And he was a teammate of Goudreau's a couple of years ago. So we'll catch up with Brian McGrattan.
Yeah.
Ray's coming up just after 5. We got Jack Armstrong on today because we want to get into LeBron James, his comments. People are focused on the Raptors and their issues. The Cavs are starting to lose some games here. And LeBron's not happy about it. So we'll get into that more throughout the afternoon. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. All right, Rick Reiner later in the hour.
We did get a note from a listener.
Yeah.
How's it going with that sheet of lasagna you promised?
Remember
that where you were like, I make the best lasagna?
You know
and
what he said?
There's just been no sign of it.
He tries to turn it around and go, well, Steph, you promised one too. And I said, well, we don't need a house fire at our house. So if you can make
empty
one.
Empty promises is what you're saying.
How about my birthday, February 23rd? You fire up a za.
All right, I'll try. I'll do it. I got no problem with doing
it. But if every listener called out everything that we said we were going to do on this show.
We do a lot of this stuff, don't we?
No.
Dude, remember we were going to buy a hearse?
We're going to buy a hearse. That was early on. We were going to have a run or something in
the playoff Winnebago.
The playoff Winnebago. Didn't. Weren't
that
we supposed
might have
to have
return.
Some sort of.
We're supposed to do urban polling. We're
the
supposed
poll
to do
rate today. What size of the gas tank is in the playoff Winnebago right now?
I think it's as big as it can get.
Easy.
I am very confident on this team being a playoff team. I look at the teams.
No.
You're talking the gas tank. So how long are you going to go in?
Like,
the playoffs?
Do you fill up for one round? Do you have one big?
Oh, I'm not going past one round yet.
Yes.
It's something to ask Ray.
Although, realistically, if they get in, I think there's a chance they're either going to be second or third in their division, which means they're probably playing Ottawa, Boston, Florida.
Yeah.
That's a coin flip series, I think. Right?
Well,
like,
right
I don't
now.
Think the Leafs are going to be in a situation in the first round where they're like major favorites, but I also don't think they'd be heavy underdogs.
No, unless they ended up against Pittsburgh or Washington or something like that.
True. If they're a wild card, they'd be huge underdogs.
Like,
huge.
But if they ended up against their peers, we'll call them, Yeah, why wouldn't you? I just, you got to get there first.
You're
not convinced
they're getting there yet.
And I want them to. I'm just saying, like, I think they're trending in the right direction, but I'm not signing off on it right now. There's still a lot of hockey to be played. And we see what happens when Morgan Rielly goes down. Like, there was a dip in the play, and you're asking guys to play above what they're capable of, and the Marty Marincins and guys like that.
They've got 3 of 6 points since he's been out. Like, you're right. There's been a dip off. There's no doubt about that. But
I just
they didn't go 0 for 3, and they're not playing him tomorrow night. But Detroit's depleted with injuries, and Detroit's in Boston tonight. So the Leafs will be in Detroit waiting for him. All right, Brian McGrattan, former NHLer. You guys know him pretty well.
Yeah,
he was not happy about the Komarov hit on Goudreau. He played in Calgary for a number of years. Was teammates with Goudreau. We're going to get him on and explain why he took issue with it, and did he really have a bigger problem with his former teammates in Calgary not doing more about it than actually what happened with Komarov.
Right.
We'll catch up with him in 2 minutes. All right, so the Leafs had a big 4-0 win over Calgary last night. The Flames, they're in big trouble, man. They are in big trouble, and they really did not respond. They did not look like a team that was really too concerned with the fact that they are slumping. And they got a tough one tonight in Montreal, so it will not get any easier. But Leo Komarov laid out Johnny Goudreau, and Goudreau left the game and then returned to the game. And Brian McGrattan actually was in Calgary during Goudreau's rookie year, and he jumped on Twitter earlier today, I guess looking back on the highlights, and said, quote, "How bad does Johnny want a guy on the team to stick up for him? Poor little guy, this is the game everyone wanted." And then went on to say, "Back in the day, we would send Komarov back to Russia with a broken face eating ketchup sandwiches."
Why ketchup sandwiches?
I don't know. Let's bring in Brian McGrattan. Have you ever had a ketchup sandwich?
No, I'm not from Eastern Europe, but I've heard they love those things over there.
Ketchup and mayonnaise only.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
All right, so take us through... Because I'm trying to decipher, did you have an issue with the Komarov, like Komarov, or Calgary's lack of response?
I think it was a lack of response. You know what? I mean, I'm not really a guy to pipe in on NHL highlights and whatnot. You know, I watch it, and it was literally, I got out of bed today, or not out of bed, I got home today, and it was like the first thing on my Twitter feed, and I'm like, I probably watched that hit like 5 times. I'm like, oh my God. Right? And it's not, I got no problem with the hit. It's like the response. Like, how do you let, you know, he's whatever. He could be a top 10 player in the league. You know, most people would probably say that. How do you let that guy get killed? Like, how does that Komarov make it out of the game? I just don't get it. Maybe I grew up, people call me a dinosaur or whatever. But if, you know, for the amount of time I was over in North America, if my star player got hit like that, there'd be about 5 guys biting at the bit to get on the ice to get the guy that did that.
So,
there could be a clean hit, dirty hit, whatever, but you let your guy get killed like that and the zero response? I just don't get it.
So, Ern, for you, were you somewhat disappointed that Giordano had to be that guy? I mean, I don't know who else it would be. I always say something might have happened, could have happened, but if you look at rosters right now, it's probably either Englund or nobody else.
Yeah, but I don't think it necessarily doesn't even have to be a guy that fights. I think it would go a lot farther on a team if it wasn't a guy that fought. For me, it would anyway. If I was a teammate and I saw another guy jump in and stick up for another teammate, I mean, they get a lot of respect from me for doing that. I think Gio's got to work on his balance a little bit, but I think he did an okay job.
Yeah, he stepped on a banana peel there. Didn't go so well.
Yeah, it happens time to time. I mean, he's not really used to doing a lot, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
We're chatting with Brian McGrattan, former Flame, again, not ecstatic with the way the Flames reacted to the Komarov hit on Goudreau. And does it say something to you about where the Flames are at? Because I'm sure you've been tracking it. They've really been getting beat up, and I know people in their market are really starting to turn on the team. Are you reading more into it that maybe this is a team kind of checking out on the season?
Obviously, I'm still a fan. They'd be probably the team I'd follow the most with a lot of friends there, and I played there the longest of any team I played on. So obviously, I could possibly say they're probably my favorite team. I follow them a lot, and you know, it's not necessarily a point of, you know, I'm not out to chirp them or anything. I mean, I follow them. I follow, you know, what's going on over in North America. But I mean, it starts with little stuff like that. I mean, first of all, the guy missed. I don't know how long did he miss with the slash? That one,
at least a couple of weeks.
Nobody did anything. Yeah, so he got slashed, broken finger, whatever. And then he comes back and been back for a month or so, and then he gets absolutely run over. I mean, I don't know. They have a tough stretch here before the end of the break. I mean, they're playing two really good teams. I mean, it's not like it's like they're getting run over the Billings. I mean, hockey's not really like that anymore. But I mean, I think the response last night would probably tell you where the team is at, especially when a guy like that goes down.
Ern, I heard Wendell Clark talk about it, and he was like, you know, back in the day, the tough guys or the guys that were physical, they almost controlled the emotion of the game because you couldn't run around and do that because you ultimately knew what was at stake if you did do that.
Yeah.
On the flip side, for a guy like me, I wasn't a tough guy whatsoever, as you know, but I always felt if I ran somebody over because I like to hit, I don't think I deserve the snot beat out of me for that.
Yeah, and people say, well, you would have never been on the ice with him. Well, I'm pretty sure my coach would make sure I was on the ice with that guy after he did that. And
so do you think the coaches factor in here? Like, would you say Gallatin should have done more?
Well, no, I'm saying back, you know, when I was in the NHL and coaches that I played for, and just, you know, I put that tweet up and people are like, oh, well, you never would have been on the ice with Komarov. I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I would have been after something like that happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm pretty sure I would have been on the ice to settle something there, for sure.
So if Komarov's not on the ice, who are you looking for?
I mean, the game has gone, the game's gone away from that. I mean, and that's the part that fans of teams, fans of superstar players, fans of whatever, that's the stuff that you're going to have to deal with now. With a Johnny Gaudreau or, you know, an Austin Matthews or a Marner getting run over like that, there's going to be no response because fighting is basically barred from the game. That's the stuff that fans are going to have to deal with now. Back in the day, yeah, it was solved between the players. I mean, if that would have happened, one of us, two of us would have went after that guy. Sure enough, one of us would have jumped him or whatever and pounded him, and he would probably think twice about ever doing that to a player on a team again. That stuff doesn't happen anymore with the way the game has gone, and that's fine. I mean, everybody likes the high-end skill, the pretty goals, and everything, but that's the stuff that's going to trickle into the game. It's going to go unenforced, and so that's the game that, you know, it's a hand you're dealt now. I mean, once the guys, the big guys, the so-called enforcers, fighters are gone, the kind of police that, yeah, you know what, maybe I couldn't have stopped that guy from hitting Johnny Gaudreau last night, but I probably would have grabbed him somewhere towards the end of the game because I would have made sure I was on the ice with him. I would have beat the hell out of him. And then the next time we played him, he probably wouldn't go on the same side of the ice as Johnny Gaudreau again because he knew what would be coming for him. But, I mean, the game's gone away from that now. So,
would you ever change up the game plan? Because I was thinking about that last night watching it. I'm thinking about Mitch Marner. Would you ever be the guy that says, oh, you want to do that to Johnny Gaudreau? Well, I'm going to grab Mitch Marner and beat the hell out of him, or that wasn't your move?
You know, some guys, yeah, it would take a lot for me to do that. I mean, that's one thing I never did. I never went after a star play. I never would. I mean, that's not in me to do that. I know other guys would. But I would go after the guy that would have hit my guy, for sure. But it would take, I don't know. I don't know if I could ever bring myself to do that, to go after a star player. I mean, it would be kind of crossing the line for me, even though they would have done it to one of my guys. I would just go after the guy that did it, for sure.
That's the old John Scott move, chase Phil Kessel all around the ice and try to get your hands on him. But anyway.
Yeah, that was one thing for me. I never done it. I think it would bring myself down a level if I did that. I kind of carried my role with pride, and I would, you know, have an honor of fighting a guy on the other team or protect my teammate from a guy, you know, like a cheap shot or whatever on a star player. I would always go after the guy that did that. I would never cross the line and go after a skill guy because it's not fair, and it's not, and that part of the game I think really would take away from the game if you had so-called tough guys and forces going after skilled players. I never thought that was right.
Well, we appreciate you doing this on short notice.
We'll say hi to James Myrtle for you for sure, Ern.
For sure.
Thank you for doing this, Brian.
Hey, no problem.
There's Brian McGrattan. He's going at it with Myrtle, too, on Twitter.
They're best friends.
The beast.
One thing about that guy, he does not hold back.
Well,
I think the fact that the one thing I like that he understands is the game is different now. And, like, that's the one thing. It is different. You can't do what happened 10 years ago. You can't just go, well, when I played this, it's just different.
It is different. But I think what he pointed out, too, was that his coach would make sure he's on the ice. Like, that is something that's really changed, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think coaches think the same way that they used to.
No. What also resonated with me was what type of a reaction if we're sitting here and Dennis Wiedemann runs Mitch Marner last night, takes liberties with him. Or, you know, that's kind of what I thought about, because Marner and Goudreau have that same type of body
Dennis
type.
Dennis Wiedemann threw an elbow right at Austin Matthews.
There was a couple, like, Chiasson's elbow on Komarov at the end of the game. I didn't like that.
And I don't think that was a coincidence either.
That was kind of a weak. Like,
it wasn't big, but I think he knew who he was hitting there, too. I think that was kind of in response.
I know, but my point being is that...
That was the old, hey, coach, I cared move.
I agree, but that's my point. I didn't like that.
No,
I didn't
like that.
But I'm sitting here on the other side of the coin and what McGrattan just brought up. If that's what you're worried about at a fan base, because at some point Mitch Marner may get run over like that. That's what worries me. Or William Nylander, or the guys who are physically aren't that big. That's the truth.
Well, what goes around comes around. It's a physical sport. They're going to get hit big at some point. But the Leafs have been on the opposite side, or on the right side of a lot of these, like with the
so
McDavid
far, yeah.
stuff. And remember people in Edmonton hating Kadri and wanting Kadri to get beaten up. And now people in Calgary want Komarov to get beaten up.
Right.
They're done their games. It's not going to happen again this year. So maybe it carries over to next year. And even the Chiasson stuff, after he took those 2 minutes, Gullitson benched him.
Yeah.
So he was more concerned about the win as opposed to retribution, which says a lot, again, about the way... Like, coaches, you know how you guys played in the league.
Right.
You'd have coaches that would go insane, absolutely crazy. That's why the Bertuzzi-Scott Moore stuff took place.
Right.
Because how do you think Burke was reacting to that, watching Goudreau get laid out the way he did? He's probably just white-knuckling it, going bananas. But that's why you had the crazy line brawls and the retribution. Not because the players necessarily said, I want to go do it. Because the coaches said, get the hell out there and do it. And if you don't do it, you're in the doghouse. And that's really changed a lot.
There's really something to think about. If you could just think about what Todd Bertuzzi went through after that, you really want to go up and try to beat the hell out of somebody? Because the stupid thing can happen.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, that the question you asked, though, was, you're right, like, if you get that mantra out there that, okay, you want to touch Goudreau, your top player's getting it. Like, that's an old-school mentality, but... That has to maybe circle back if the league is going to get away from fighting.
I don't disagree if it's dirty. It's a clean hit. Okay, go ahead and try to hit Marner clean.
Absolutely.
But Marner's,
that was a clean hit. That,
it was
that's
a good
the one
hit.
Thing
clean
that we
hit.
Are talking
that's on
about.
Goudreau. Keep
it
your
was
head
a
up.
Clean hit. That's right.
Ray's coming up. We'll get into the LeBron James comments and maybe how they relate to the Raptors. Could Kyle Lowry or DeMar DeRozan get away with what LeBron was saying post-game last night?
They would never do it.
Probably not. Maybe we want to see it happen. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, 40-30 low center of gravity grit grinder.
I'm going to go with Russell Westbrook. He's one of my go-to guys for the grit grinder.
Really?
Another triple-double last night.
That's all he does every single night.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's crazy.
I don't really like the guy that much. He kind of...
I don't really like him either.
But what he does is pretty spectacular.
He backs it up. That's what it is.
He does, but his rep has gotten worse since Durant left. He's become more selfish, more all about
he's
him.
Having issues with the refs. He's having all kinds of issues.
And they've got smoked the 2 times I think they played Golden State. But triple-doubles are triple-double.
Exactly.
Noodles?
Freddie the Goat. I liked this game last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's starting to settle in, and which is amazing.
I think they want him to stay. Like,
I think so, too. I was just about to say, we don't talk about him much because I think he's starting to just gain the trust of the coach. And Craig Button, I still have to give him as much love as possible because Craig Button sat here on this show and said, Frédéric Gauthier is going to play in the NHL.
Well, and he's gonna Craig. I love Pooley, but he's not a first-round pick. I'm sorry. You don't draft a guy in the first round to be your fourth-line center.
But go back into that draft.
I've never heard of that.
Go back
idea.
In that draft and look who was behind him. There's nobody that was behind him that's
well,
in the NHL.
Well, Burakovsky's for Washington's pretty good.
So you have behind him?
Yes,
I think he
is.
Was like the 23rd pick, and Le Chiffre was 21.
Okay, well.
Ballpark.
Close. Ballpark.
Nazem Kadri, 100th career goal, 20th goal of the season, two-pack last night. The guy's on pace for like 35, 37 goals.
So who are you falling in love with again?
Oh, he's always been my number one
guy. You cut
always
up his
been my
jersey
number one
the minute
guy.
That
you burned it as soon as Austin Matthews.
I would never
Matthews
he threw
Jordan.
It in the garbage as soon as Matthews arrived.
He's
and now
my
all of a
guy.
Sudden he's circling back.
The value, $4.5 million is his cap hit. 35 goals for a guy you're paying $4.5
million
to?
Mark, just clip that when 3 years from now.
Exactly.
We're sitting here and you're like.
And easy with the 35, on pace for that. Let's just.
Well,
see if he
okay,
gets
but
there.
Projections are always projections.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that?
Projections.
Race coming up, LeBron's comments, Roethlisberger contemplating retirement, that more in the next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.